Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hello.
Hi, Desi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
How are you doing?
Great.
We have our top and only story today.
Oh.
Is, as promised, about Tombstone Pizza. Oh.
I was like, I don't know how much I can riff, Rachel, thinking you just had one story.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I actually did, this is how like my brain is so broken from working on this Tombstone main episode, because like we got part two coming up soon. I was working on the mini and I was like, oh shit, I'm doing Tombstone. I forgot I'm doing Tombstone. So I had to go back to my article.
You were just doing a regular mini.
Yeah, I started putting together a regular mini. This is some real how the sausage is made moment for our listeners.
Okay, but I'm excited.
I was inspired to do a mini episode about Tombstone Pizza based on this MASHED article I was reading called Tombstone Pizza, 13 Facts About the Frozen Pizza Brand by Acacia Dedrick. And Desi, do you have a favorite frozen pizza company?
I like the ones that the dough rises. It's like soft dough.
DiGiorno.
DiGiorno has that. And a few others have it, I think, now. So that's like my favorite pizza. But no, I don't really have a favorite frozen pizza. I don't typically have it that much.
Really?
No, I don't. I've bought like the California Pizza Kitchen one. Not that great, but I'll eat it.
It's not the same as in the restaurant.
No. So I would say that the ones I like the best so far would be those self-rising ones or whatever they're called.
I do love a frozen pizza for a last minute dinner.
Yeah.
I do think it's always pretty good.
I agree. I do have frozen pizzas. I just don't necessarily have a favorite one, I guess. They all seem pretty close to me, the ones I've had at least.
And for me, frozen pizza is not comparable to delivery pizza. It is its own entity.
Yes.
I don't think you should compare it to it or say it's just as good. It's its own entity.
I do like ones that have like the bell pepper on it.
Like a veggie one? Well,
I don't mind if it's with meat, but there's something about frozen pizza bell pepper that tastes really good to me. I would never order it on my pizza when I get a delivery, yeah. But there's something about it on a frozen pizza that I do like. I don't know why.
I love a DiGiorno too. I also was pleasantly surprised with a Paul Newman.
Oh yeah, I've had that one.
A Newman's Own frozen pizza.
I think that's the one I had with bell pepper. It's like the saccheroni.
What?
It's saccheroni? Called like the saccheroni pizza, and it's like sausage, pepper, and onions or something.
That sounds good. I like a Newman's Own is very reliable. Like if you're not sure of what brand to get for your pizza, your frozen pizza or your pasta sauce even, Newman's Own's pretty reliable.
I also think they have a really reliable, their vinaigrette, the balsamic vinaigrette is like, I'll always have that in my fridge because it's pretty decent salad dressing.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make it.
He lived my dream. He's rest in peace, Paul Newman.
No, I love it.
He's like a celebrated actor.
Good person. Hot.
Jewish icon.
Yeah.
And he has a line of food.
That's what you do. You retire and you open up a little food business.
Yeah.
And he did it for charity.
Let's get to Tombstone Pizza, not affiliated with Newman's Own. If you're like me, and you remember the Tombstone Pizza commercials of the 1990s. They had a particularly morbid premise for a frozen pizza ad. It would feature a man who was about to be executed, who was then asked by the executioner What do you want on your tombstone? One ad takes place in the Old West with a sheriff in a noose being asked by a cowboy dressed in black who asks him, what do you want on your tombstone? And the sheriff replies, pepperoni and cheese.
Yeah.
Another ad from 1992 features a mobster about to be executed. And the guy, the mob boss who's about to execute him, says, understand, this is nothing personal. It's business. Before we get started, what do you want on your tombstone? And the gangster jovially replies, pepperoni and sausage.
I like the idea that this is a common scenario. Someone asking what you want on your tombstone right before killing you.
It's like, what's your last words?
Yeah.
Do you have any last words? What do you want them to say on your on the grave?
But that's not a thing that happened before this pizza commercial, is it?
I think it's, like I said, a version of what
it's a version of that.
What are your last words?
But they're acting like it's a common thing. I'm just saying.
There were several of these ads with the same premise. I watched several of them before I wrote this up. A lot of these I remembered from childhood. One of them I like is a slight twist on it. It's from 1998, I believe. It is a pharaoh about to execute someone inside of a pyramid. And he asks the man, what do you want on your tombstone? And the guy replies, I think you mean, what do you want in your tombstone? Because they're ancient Egyptians and they would be buried in these pyramids.
Was this the launch of their Hot Pocket pizzas?
This was the launch of their stuffed crust. I thought that was so clever.
It's very clever. Now I'm kind of like fantasizing, like they should have had like a wife coming in and catching her husband with another woman. Did they?
I'm going to get to some of these variations.
Okay.
In 2001, Aaron Paul starred in a tombstone commercial as a teenager whose parents caught him throwing a big party at their house. It was like the morning after, and
right,
he's wearing a sombrero. He's passed out on the couch and the dad is furious and he bellows, what do you want on your tombstone? And Aaron Paul replies, taco meat with cheddar cheese. Because it was launching their new Mexican style pizza.
And that's why he was wearing a sombrero.
Yeah. There was one that I saw, because they had a variation of the ads, or they had like a change in slogan, but they would still sometimes use, what do you want on your tombstone? But it, like by the late 90s, early 2000s, they would sometimes do, shoulda had a tombstone. So there was one ad where a teenage girl and her boyfriend are hooking up in her bedroom and the parents come home early. And so the boy hides in the closet and the dad's like, who's in here? Who do you got in your bedroom? Someone in here? And she's like, no, daddy. And then you hear the boy's stomach growl. And then ad narrator says, shoulda had a tombstone.
Mm. I feel like that's how I'd get busted, my stomach growling, or caught by like a killer, like if I'm hiding.
Me too.
And then my stomach would growl or something.
So embarrassing. So let's get to the history of this pizza. Tombstone Pizza was founded in 1962.
Whoa.
Or it originated in 1962. Right. That was the year that the Tombstone Tavern in Medford, Wisconsin began making and selling pizzas to its customers. They were like, how can we make some new income at this tavern? I don't know. Let's start selling pizzas.
And do we know why they were called Tombstone Tavern?
Yes, because the tavern was next to a cemetery.
That's so funny.
Because this isn't anywhere near Arizona.
Right.
This is in Wisconsin. Now, the pizzas at this tavern were pretty shitty, but after the owner, Pep Simic, broke his leg in a dancing accident, he had more time to perfect the recipes, and this new recipe for his pizzas were a hit with people all over town. Like, they went to the tavern. They're like, this is some pretty good pizza.
Yeah.
So much so that the tavern began freezing the pizzas and offering them to sell at other local establishments, and eventually all across the nation.
Oh.
In 1986, the company sold to Kraft and later to Nestle. According to Nestle's website, the pizza's first slogan was "the Italian pizza with a Western name."
So that's when they added the Western element.
Yeah, because, I mean, they weren't going to change the brand name, which they realized sounded really Western.
Right, because of the town.
I guess they could have had, they realized they had two options at that point. They said, well, the tavern was named after a cemetery, but do we want to be mass marketing pizzas with the cemetery motif, or do we want to mass market these pizzas with a Southwestern theme?
Right. Because those are our only two options.
But later on, later on, of course, in the 90s, they're like, let's bring a little morbidity back.
Yeah.
Let's give it a crime element.
Yeah.
So by 1990, the brand had switched to the iconic, what do you want on your tombstone, paired with these morbid commercials. Previously, the tombstone pizza ads during the 1980s were very wholesome. They often used a montage of happy people eating tombstone pizza to a very peppy jingle. It's like a really classic 1980s food commercial.
Yeah.
You know, the ones where a song is playing throughout and it's like, we love tombstone pizza. And it's like,
and like the family is happy.
And then there's like a sailor eating the pizza, and then it cuts to like a construction worker eating the pizza. Right.
Every type of person loves it.
Every type of person. They show the box. It has the little cactus on the box.
That's right.
Because it's a Wild West pizza. It's kind of a confusing branding.
It's interesting though, because Nestle bought it and had to work with it.
Yes.
And I do think they made the right decision trying to make it Western, but it's weird that they then went back to it. Like, why not just stick with the Western theme wholeheartedly all the way through?
They did, because the cactus remained on the tombstone box.
But the commercials changed.
Well, the commercials became dark.
Yeah.
And
I guess the first one was a cowboy, right?
No, it wasn't the first one.
Oh, it wasn't.
I don't know if that was. It might have been the first one. I watched several. I didn't see a date on this particular ad.
I mean, that would make sense if it was the first one. But then they're like, these are great. Let's do more. Let's do a gangster next.
There's so many of them. There's so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember these commercials too. I actually hadn't thought about them until you mentioned it. I was like, oh, right. That's what those commercials were.
Yeah. They were very 90s. They ran throughout the entire decade.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's an easy concept to come up with different ideas for.
Yeah. It was like a variety of people in peril about to be murdered.
About to be murdered, but also just like you said, like your dad, I'm going to beat your ass. Yeah. Like, what do you want on your tombstone kind of thing? Like,
it's dark.
It is dark.
There was one I saw with a prisoner on death row.
Oh my God.
It's like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
This guy's about to get murdered by the state. And the guy's like, what do you want on your tombstone? He's like, pepperoni and cheese. So in 2017, disaster struck when a truck carrying tombstone pizza crashed.
A tombstone pizza spill?
There was a tombstone truck pizza spill. Sadly, there were fatalities involved.
No.
This is from People magazine. Truck carrying hundreds of frozen pizzas crashes on the highway. Lots of pizza fatalities reported. A truck driver gave an Arkansas highway a pizza. Why are they using puns in this article? People died. A truck driver gave an Arkansas highway a pizza his mind this week. Department of Transport.
Sorry, what?
This is dark. Department of Transportation employees were left handling a very messy and delicious cleanup on Wednesday after a truck carrying hundreds of frozen tombstone and DiGiorno pizzas crashed on Interstate 30 in Little Rock, according to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Though no one was injured in the accident, traffic was stalled for miles after the truck hit an overpass, ripping apart the trailer and spilling pizzas onto the road.
So no one was injured. I think they mean pizza fatalities, that the pizzas died. Because they just said no one was injured, right?
I didn't read this whole article before I
But I think you got confused because they said pizza fatalities.
Okay, I was so confused. I was so confused because I just read fatalities and I'm like, why are they making puns in this article?
I mean, I have to say, I don't think they would be making puns, but that would be crazy. People died.
Especially in People magazine because they're so like kind of wholesome.
No, they would never do anything that kind of edgy.
Arkansas Department of Transportation spokesperson Danny Strasel jokingly reported lots of pizza fatalities following the incident. Oh my God. Do you want to see a picture of this? This is crazy. Yes. Look at all these pizzas on the road.
Because that's my favorite truck spell when we actually, oh my God, when you can see the food.
Yeah.
And it's not just boxes of food.
No, we want the cheese on the cement.
I want a bean river.
A river of beans. This is crazy because it was a combination DiGiorno and Tombstone Pizza truck.
Oh.
That just seems weird to me that why was this truck carrying two different brands of pizza? Was it just like, this is the frozen pizza truck?
I bet you, I wouldn't be surprised if they're all made at the same facilities. Like,
Although I will say that when I just visually, Tombstone Pizza has never looked that appetizing to me. But DiGiorno is pretty good.
I don't think I've had a Tombstone pizza.
I've never had one.
For me, it's like the sauce can make or break. Like, I need the sauce to taste good.
Apparently, this guy who invented the Tombstone pizza after he broke his leg dancing.
Right.
That was one of the things he worked on and perfected was the spice combination in the sauce.
It needs more oregano. I like to think of this guy doing a spice combination.
He was really inspired by the pizzas he ate in Chicago.
Oh, okay. No, I've never had it, but I bet you it's a very basic frozen pizza.
Yeah, like I said, there are certain frozen pizza brands that I'm inexplicably repulsed by, and I don't know if it's that their branding makes me grossed out by it, sorry, or if it's just the visual of it is not good. Like,
Which ones are you grossed out by?
Red Baron.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but Red Baron grosses me out.
That's like a restaurant, right?
Is it?
I think it might be a restaurant.
Like a pizza
chain?
Maybe
I was thinking of Red Robin.
That's Red Robin.
Yeah.
But you know Red Baron Pizza?
Yes.
I don't like the guy. I don't like the mascot.
I mean, I guess I am very swayed by the marketing in this case, right?
Yeah.
Like DiGiorno sold me with the self-rising crust. I also like the French bread pizza. We've talked about that before.
That's Stouffer's.
Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Yeah.
I do tend to like the higher quality brands of frozen food.
I do too. Red Baron to me, look, I don't like this guy. I think the guy is unappetizing to me on the box. Like what? Like he's like an old fashioned aviator.
Oh yeah. I've seen those before. I think the pizza looks bad. It's too... You know what I used to like was, this is very 90s, Boboli.
Oh my God, Desi. We talk about Boboli in this house like every other week. I'm not even joking.
I was obsessed with Boboli.
No, we talk about Boboli a lot. I'm not joking you.
That's so funny. I was obsessed with Boboli. I loved getting those and making pizza.
That's such a 90s thing to do.
It's so good.
I can't believe they even still sell Boboli.
I know. When I see it, it's like, why have I not ever bought it since I was a child?
Because I feel like we've evolved past that kind of pizza crust.
Because now you can just buy raw dough and make pizza.
And it's way better because... The thing about Boboli, and you find it in the grocery stores, it's an already cooked pizza crust, and it's shaped already.
Cheese, like that kind of orange burnt in cheese.
It has like Asiago shreds.
Yeah, it's because it's dark brown in areas, right, where the cheese is.
I've never had it before, or I probably did as a kid at someone's house, or maybe I had it at my own house.
It's not bad.
It just feels like the crust would be too overcooked by the time you put all this shit on it.
It's not exactly pizza crust.
It's not exactly dense. It's like a
flat bread.
Yeah.
So it works with the stuff on top of it because it's not supposed to be pizza dough crust. Like
it doesn't look yeasty enough.
It's a different product. I mean, I think if you go into it thinking it's going to taste like you made your own pizza, it's just not that. It's different. It's like a cheesy crusty bread that you put stuff on top of.
It doesn't even look crusty though. It looks like,
well, when you cook it, it doughy. Gets crusty. When it gets crustier when you cook it.
Yeah.
Maybe it is undercooked or par-baked.
We should buy one and try it out.
I mean, I haven't had it in so long, but I loved a bulboli.
People were making a lot more pizzas back then, like at home.
The 90s was like, it was like the golden age of frozen foods.
Yes.
Because it was like elevated finally.
There were elevated frozen food options. Amy's was popping off.
Ooh, yeah, Amy's.
Ate a lot of that at
broccoli
home.
Cheddar pie.
I'm obsessed with the broccoli cheddar pot pie.
I used to like their Hot Pockets too.
They're really good.
Like their version. There was like a curry one.
They have one. I liked the pizza rolls. Their pizza rolls are really good.
They had like healthy versions of popular frozen foods.
Yeah.
And they were pretty good.
That's why it was the only like frozen fruit food brand at my mom's house.
Oh. Where did you get the junk? Your dad's? Or your friend's?
I got the junk at my friend's houses.
Yeah.
But at my mom's house. But my mom did buy us Viennetta.
Okay. No, I mean, Amy's is good. That's why it took off.
Yeah.
Because it was like the first good one.
Right.
I think. But yeah.
They make a good frozen pizza too.
I've had theirs for sure. Yeah. It's like I can picture the cover or like the packaging.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Trader Joe's has some good frozen pizzas. I've bought those before.
They do?
Yes.
I mean, TJ's is always pretty reliable. Honestly, that's all I have. I forgot. I didn't realize it was going to be this short, but
that's
I guess
okay.
This is enough time to take a break.
Yes.
And we'll get to more stuff.
Bye.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Desi, we had 2 big series finales this week. We had Succession and Barry.
Right. I'm going to watch Barry, so
I won't talk about it.
The good thing about Barry is there's not a lot of spoilers.
No, it's not like Succession where I was off of my phone until I could watch it.
Right. So let's talk about Succession.
What did you think about the series finale?
I feel like I think about the series finale as I think about this whole last season. It's obviously incredibly well acted. We all know this.
Yeah.
These actors are excellent. The characters are great. And I mean, I feel like it was a perfectly fine finale.
Yeah.
Is it like blowing me away? Story-wise? No. Acting-wise? Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes the discourse is so bad on Twitter, it can dampen my enthusiasm for things. Because I don't like, some of the interpretations of this show are so bad that it's actually infuriating.
Yeah.
Like there's obviously the Shiv girl boss. Like people were upset. She didn't like full out win in the end. Right. But it's like she did though in a way.
Yeah.
If you're worried about that. Also, women can be evil and stupid and bad as well. I don't need every female character to be some hero or something. Like people seem disappointed, much like Khaleesi, like with her story.
Honestly, it's like I told you yesterday, shows about evil bitches are some of my favorite shows.
I don't know why that's a bad thing.
I don't need the woman to be heroic or empowering for me.
Also, it never was there.
No,
I don't know what people saw. Because it wasn't there.
She was always driven by her own self-interest. The entire series.
Yes, which is fine. They all are.
Yeah. They're all bad people on this show. Every character is a bad person on this show.
They're deeply damaged people who act out. Like, hurt people hurt people, obviously. Like, and they're rich, so it makes it even more unacceptable.
It's also very difficult for me, regardless of how well the acting is. Like, they're obviously, these are tragic characters, and this is like, it is a tragedy in many ways.
Yes.
This series. But I don't feel bad for them because they're all walking away with billions of dollars.
Exactly. Now, the other criticism or complaints that really irritates me is sometimes I think people truly don't see how funny this show is. And that drives me insane. Like the scene with the siblings in the break or the conference room after, when the vote was happening, people were like, it's so upsetting that Roman was so evil about the children and da 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 da. And I was like, this scene was funny to me because they're such monsters. And it was actually making me cringe how fucking embarrassing they were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was more cringe and like, Jesus Christ, these people are fucking
pathetic.
Pathetic.
Yeah. Like, it didn't make me, it's weird because I felt kind of similarly. I didn't necessarily think it was funny so much as I thought it was just a great example of how little perspective these people have and how out of touch they are with the rest of humanity and just how pathetic they are.
Yeah. I was waffling between like I can think of a few moments where it was embarrassing, but I was also laughing that he would say, like when Kendall was like, I'm the first boy, or eldest boy.
I'm the eldest boy.
Like that was comedy to me. But then the next second I was like, oh, Kendall, like, what are you doing? Like, well, it was so cringy. Like,
it's what the show does best is it's funny while simultaneously also being tragic because these are tragic individuals. They are morally bankrupt. They don't care about anyone else but themselves. They're pathetic.
It's pathetic because it's like you can't help but watch this show and think, you guys, why do you want to like be a CEO? You could just be a billionaire.
I know.
Fucking doing nothing. That's the dream.
Our mutual friend Amy had a great tweet and she said, I don't understand why any of these children want to work so much.
It's weird because it is the psychological thing with the dad, though. It's kind of like, it's about that, right?
Yeah.
They obviously don't need the money.
Which
is still sad, though.
It's sad.
Because it's like, just the biggest fuck you to him is not caring about what he created. Being like, I don't want to fucking run that business.
You know who won? Connor. The con heads won.
The con heads won. So yeah, sometimes these, like, I'll see comments where it's just like, that was just devastating and da-da-da. I was like, it's all kind of... I feel bad for obviously for Kendall's kids, but they don't even want to be a part of this nonsense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I do feel like it's like, yeah, that was probably the outcome that needed to happen as far as the succession goes. No one really wins. Even the supposed winner, he's not long for that job either. Like there is no winning.
I don't know what it is about this show where it's so easier for me to have the kind of reaction you were just describing where I don't feel bad for any of these characters and their monsters, even though it's acted brilliantly and they all bring, and they're just so like, whatever, they're all fully realized human beings, even though they're monsters. While I am able to feel bad for a monster like Saul Goodman at the end of that series, I don't know. I guess tonally, it's totally a different show.
Well,
but even though Saul is like, yeah, you fucked up and you are a complete monster, but I'm able to feel the tragedy of that more. I don't know. It's
well,
hard
because
to explain.
We see Saul before he gets there, right?
Yeah, I guess that's why.
We don't see these kids, and they probably always were this, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how they were raised.
Yeah.
So I can feel, while I don't feel bad for them, I can have sympathy for it where they are based on what their dad did to them.
Yes.
Like it is sad to me. Like Kendall is tragic. Do I like him? No.
Right.
Do I feel bad for the boy who was put in that position from an early age? Yeah, I do. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I do have empathy for them, but it's a different type of empathy, I guess.
Yeah.
And they are so wealthy. It's kind of like, deal with it. You have money for therapy.
Yeah.
Like this is the best thing that ever could have happened for you to be kicked out of this company.
Yeah.
Like it truly is. Like, he's such a good actor.
I know, I
though,
love him.
It is hard to watch. Like, because
it's cringy.
It's cringy, though. It's more cringy than I feel bad for him. But then I can think of the child who, whose dad told him he would run it all one day, and that being like this pressure that built who he is today. He's such a douchebag though. Like, it's just like,
they're all awful.
Yeah.
They're all awful.
But I can see these broken people and have, it's like, you kind of think back to the child and be like, that didn't have to happen.
Right.
This was created, and hopefully they do something about it.
Yeah.
Will they? Probably not. Cause they don't have to, right? They're going to succeed in this world. They can be this way because they're wealthy and not have to ever change.
Yeah.
Most of us have to change or we won't survive in the world because no one will want to be around us.
Yeah.
Like, money lets you get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And of course the show is obviously about like the cycle of abuse and like generational abuse.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's an interesting thing, and this is a common thing in the modern world. The father truly was nothing and built this industry. Whether he's good or bad is not really the point. These kids were born into it, mm-hmm. and they can never recreate what the dad did just because they're privileged.
Yeah.
They never had to work a day in their life, and they instinctively know there's no like sense of like, I need to make this work or I'm going to fail, because they're always going to have that money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's hard, I think. Not that I care or sympathize with people who have money who have struggles about making it, because it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You don't have to make it.
Yeah. Like, that's why I just thought it was funny, that last scene where it's like, I've never seen someone so depressed about leaving an office with billions and billions of dollars from this sale.
Because it's like, they don't even know what it's like to not have money.
Yeah.
It's not even on their radar.
No.
So it's like, that's their baseline, is being a billionaire.
Yeah.
So they'll still, I mean, the tragedy is, it does show you, it doesn't matter how rich you are, you still have this fucked up shit happening.
Yeah.
On some level.
This, like, hole in you.
Yeah. And it's like, the money didn't do anything.
No. Because
he knows deep down that he's a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, they all kind of are.
Yeah.
I think people had this hope for Shiv because she seemed like she did try to create this career outside of the family business and was successful in that. But then she also, all of a sudden, one season, whatever, I can't remember if it was two or three, I guess two, she wanted to be the CEO too.
Yeah.
And it was like, really? Why? Yeah. Why do you guys all want to be CEO of this stupid company?
Like, yeah. And she didn't even like the company.
It's about the dad's approval. It was just about him picking you. Like,
right.
That's all it was.
No, she's pathetic. She fucking sold. I mean, she time and time again sold out. Like, she abandoned her morals, quote unquote, like, if she had any morals to begin with.
Yeah. I also was confused by people's confusion about her choice. It's like, no, that's so obvious. She's pregnant with this man's child. Of course she's going to pick what's best for the child at this point.
Yeah.
Even though Tom doesn't own the company, he's just the CEO. I don't know what that's going to, he could be fired in a fucking next week.
Right.
Like, which will probably happen the first time shit hits the fan, right? Like,
yeah.
He's out. So, no, it's like,
the take I thought was sort of the most egregious was that someone thought that Shiv stopped the vote or voted against Kendall because she didn't want him to become his father. I'm like, she doesn't give a shit about that.
Oh my God.
She doesn't care about
Someone
that.
Someone thought that.
Yes.
No. So
this is for her own self-interest.
It's her own
self-interest. It's not even about her child. It's for her.
Yes, in the immediate. But I feel like there is something where she is starting to think about the child.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, you know, I agree. She's probably also the type of mom who's like, what's best for me is best for my child, right? Like,
yeah.
That type of thinking. I did like the speculation though about like, what was the moment
that she decided,
that made her turn? Like, was there a specific instance? I liked that kind of speculation about what it was. That was interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, and I do think there was something about seeing Kendall at the desk.
Yes.
Or like, even when he did that, they were like commenting on his big teeth smile when they agreed to it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it is kind of disturbing to see Kendall smile.
Yeah.
Like, it was sort of disturbing.
It's true, because he never smiles.
No, and it was like, it meant so much to him. There was a part of me that was like, I'm not going to let you have it.
Yeah.
Like a petty thing I could see Shiv having. It's not going to be you. They've already proven they shut her out when they have it.
Yeah.
So they're idiots.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to stroke her ego, I think.
No.
And that's their fatal flaw.
Those kids.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I also saw a funny tweet today that made me laugh where someone's like, if you're like me and you already miss Succession, I was like, well, I'm not going to start missing it till like next week, maybe when it would have normally aired or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's like, I'm not missing it yet. It's like only when you kind of like, oh, wait, it's not coming back. Like,
no, this is how I felt. That's how I felt about Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. So I get that derangement.
Yeah, I don't.
But I just don't have the same emotional attachment to Succession the way I do the Breaking Bad universe.
It's kind of shocking that people have an emotional attachment to it, because it's more to me like I like watching the story. I don't necessarily have an emotional. It's more like entertaining to me, but something else could replace it for me that's entertaining.
I think certain shows or movies just sort of, just there's people have either sentimental attachment or some kind of emotional attachment where you feel like,
no, I
for
agree,
whatever reason.
But not Succession.
Not
I don't
Succession.
Have it Succession. I have it for other it. Shows where we talked about this, where we want to be back in that world.
Yes.
Even though we don't like the series, like Dexter.
Yes.
I still like the world.
Yeah.
I just don't necessarily have that with Succession, where I wouldn't enjoy a very similar show with different people.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be the same. I just don't have necessarily an emotional attachment
right.
to this show.
That we do with other shows.
Yes.
Like 6 Feet Under maybe or whatever.
Yes. Like if someone was, although like I would maybe if 10 years later from now, people are like, let's check in with Succession. I'd be like, okay, let's look at where are they now?
I'd be interested,
but I wouldn't be hoping it.
I don't have that emotional attachment the
yes.
way I do with the characters of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. I just don't.
Also, I'm willing to watch bad reboots of worlds I like. I don't know if I would watch a bad Succession.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'll watch a bad.
We watched Dexter.
We watched Dexter. I watched the Sex and the City reboot.
Yeah.
That was terrible week in, week out. But I was like, I like hanging out with these guys. So it's like, I will do it for certain shows. I would do it for Nip Tuck.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if Succession wasn't as good as it is as far as the quality
of
the
acting. It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work because Succession, at the end of the day, it wasn't a. It wasn't really plot driven as much as it was like character and acting driven.
Yes.
And of course the writing, you know.
Well, the writing, yes.
The dialogue specifically.
That informed the characters
yeah.
so well.
I don't
for
know.
Sure. No, I like Succession. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know if I could really articulate into words why I don't feel the same way about Succession as I do about the other shows we talked about, but I just don't. But I do know that there are lots and lots of people that do have this like deep emotional connection with that show.
Yes. I think the thing for me also is once the Succession has happened, there's nothing driving these characters anymore. Right. Once the choice was made,
it's just rich dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know where the show would go after this decision was made.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure. Over.
Yeah. Well,
it's pretty much
they don't
done.
Have to worry about it. That's what you do. You don't have any ideas.
In fact, I feel more of an emotional connection with Barry than I do with Succession.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know what
it's
it is.
Probably because you binged it in 2 days.
Because I was so submerged.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I just don't. The Barry finale was great. It's also a short series like Succession, or relatively, it's 4 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty short these days.
Short for American.
And for a successful show.
Yes.
Like, these are not shows that ended because no one was watching them.
And they ran it into the ground or...
Yeah.
Or, no, but I thought Barry was great top to bottom. Like I said last week, it's so odd for me to watch a show that's, like, a comedy. Like, I don't generally watch comedies except for
right.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, but this show has that perfect, like, it hits that sweet spot that I like.
Yes.
And the premise is just so over the top and whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
I think you'll like
sure.
it a lot. The characters in
sure
it are
I will.
The characters in it are so good.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'll like it. I just haven't watched it for some reason.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Like, why did we not watch Barry? Because it seems like right up our alley.
It was one of those shows that I was meaning to watch when it first came out. And I heard about it. I'm like, that's right up my alley.
Me too. I think sometimes when I miss the initial burst, it's hard for me to jump in when everyone's sort of further ahead than me.
I also Yeah, I don't know why, but it's great. I think you'll like it. I know you'll like it. So hopefully next week you'll have watched a few episodes so we can talk about
the whole
your series. Hot takes. The whole, I mean, it took I binged it in like 3 days because the episodes are so short.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like it was fair of me to opine about Barry on Twitter because I wasn't like around. I just
take that bow. You guys, I can't believe
Barry's Barry's over. So it's for me,
it was two days of the best series I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was more just like I watched a really great several hours long movie.
Yes. Yes. That I really enjoyed. You weren't like lived in. Week to week for years.
No, yeah. I mean, I started watching Better Call Saul when it premiered, and that was a weekly appointment TV for me for years.
I think that's such a different way of viewing something, because I watched it, I binged it before the finale, basically.
Yes, yes.
I just started watching it before the final season.
Yeah.
And I think it's a different experience. It's
totally different, but all, yeah. Did you watch anything else this week besides Vanderpump Rules?
No. We already kind of talked about things because our last mini was pretty close to this one based on timing. No.
Did we just talk
our movie? I watched our movie club movie. So that's on Patreon now.
Yeah. If you want to hear us recap a bafflingly stupid movie, I mean, a lot of them are bafflingly stupid.
This one's Netflix made for TV, baffling stupid. This is like next
this one
level.
Was definitely written by AI.
Yeah. So that's Deadly Illusions. That's on Netflix. And then our recap is on patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. I didn't have time to watch TV. I was busy. I'm cleaning out my garage. I have these feral kittens. I've been socializing. That takes up a lot of my work. I'm like literally taking, I have 9 cats right now.
Desi.
Four of them are in my garage, and I'm not really, they're not living with me. I mean, I'm not keeping them. They're fosters.
Yeah.
But I've just accidentally got too many cats.
It happens.
But their care is a full-time fucking job. Like, it takes a lot of work. So anyways, if you need a cat or kitten, let
Desi's
me know.
Desi's got plenty of kittens at her house, because you also have 3 kittens that are living in your house.
I have 3 foster kittens.
And you're a large adult cat.
I have my large adult foster.
Well, he's not a foster.
No, I have, that's my senior boy, Omzy. I also have an adult cat foster, a mom, an ex-mom.
Wasn't he named after Omar Little?
Yes.
Aww.
His name is Omar Little. That's his official name. Yes, you can tell I got him at the height of the wire.
Yeah. Did you eat anything good?
I did not eat anything good out of the ordinary.
Devastating.
I know. I'm gonna try to meal prep this week. Problem is I need time to cook. I don't have time to cook, so I did a lot of stupid ordering.
Yeah. My stomach's growling right now.
I'm hungry now, so I'm going to eat something soon.
Something bullshit.
Some chicken. I don't know. I want to try to learn how to make some good salads this month.
I've been making a lot of salads this week.
I want to up my salad game and get some good salads going. Mm. I read an article or saw a post or something about creating these mason jar salads.
Oh my God, Desi.
They're so cute.
It's so Pinterest.
I know, it's kind of
what
Pinterest.
What is this, 2015?
But they
a
look
mason
really
jar salad?
They look really convenient, so you can make a few, because obviously salad, but they're like ready to go, and then you can have different dressings ready.
So it's meal prepping salad.
It's meal prepping salad. They don't have to be in a mason jar. That's just the way I see it, because then you dump it and like whatever. But I want to have like salad stuff ready to go, so they're easy to put together, and some maybe a few good dressings ready to go, like homemade dressings.
So you're not doing what I did 2 days ago, where I postmated a burrito from Rodeo Grill Express.
Well,
that burrito
was good.
There's
no shame in that game.
That burrito was good. That's my favorite local burrito.
I got Dave's Hot Chicken slider last night.
What?
I never got the slider before.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. And it's honestly, I would say bigger than a slider size.
Of course.
So of course I ordered too much food because I thought they were going to be like a little slider.
No.
And it was like a sandwich. It was like a sandwich size, but the chicken was really good on it. And there was like a potato bun.
Yeah.
That squishy potato
that
bun.
That potato bun is so good.
So yeah, I want to have the ability to throw a good salad together. Just like, because that's what always stops me. And like, I don't feel like chopping a million fucking vegetables, making a dressing.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll see what I can do there. Is that it? Sigh.
Yeah. I'm just the only good thing I had was that burrito from Rodeo Grill Express.
I've still never tried the Rodeo
Grill. It's so good.
I have almost gotten that sandwich at Cosa Bono like 10 times though in the past four
days. It's a great sandwich.
The only thing that stopped me was...
I didn't tell you this.
Oh, shit.
So I ordered the sandwich again last week.
You did?
Without you. And it was soggy.
Oh, they put...
It was soggy. It was soggy.
That's weird.
The bread was soggy on the bottom. And I don't know why, because it was so perfect the last time when we got it together. I'm just guessing that was a fluke.
Or maybe he stopped at a place before you.
I should have done priority... delivery.
I need that sandwich. That's funny because that's why I didn't order it, because it's in my delivery range, but it's like the extra delivery range. It's kind of far. It's like 5 miles. So I'm willing to pay the tip sometimes, but I was like, is it going to be that good though? It's going to get soggy by the time it gets to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't do it, because I was like, I'll just tip them $20. Like, I want that sandwich and I don't feel like driving.
Damn.
I know. Whatever. Like, but I didn't do it.
I know. That's how I feel about... I almost ordered All About the Bread the other day. But All About the Bread is like far from my house.
I hate when it's in your delivery range, but it's really far. So I feel bad about ordering it.
I feel bad for the delivery driver. I don't want to make them drive all that way.
Unless I'm willing to give them a huge tip.
And I will give them a huge tip if they have to drive that far. But
will it be good?
I think that sandwich would probably still be good. It's substantial, that bread.
All About the Bread?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's more just about them. I just don't, even if I am giving them a big tip, I'm like, do they want to drive that far?
I wouldn't want to, clearly.
I'd be annoyed.
Because that's why I'm getting a delivery.
I'd be annoyed if I was like on Melrose and La Brea and they're like, this bitch in Echo Park.
Wants a sandwich. Who is this bitch? Rachel from Hollywood Crime Scene.
Rachel from Hollywood Crime Scene is demanding a sandwich from All About the Bread.
Who is this posh bitch?
And then you got to order a bunch of other stuff, because like, I'm the type of person when I order Postmates, I can never just order something that's like one item. I have to order a bunch of stuff so it is like it's worth it.
Yeah. No, I'll order enough food for 3 people for myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, I should, you know, let me try this.
I don't want someone just driving a sandwich to me.
No, that's why I do it too. And then I end up eating like way more than I should. I'm like fucking stuffed.
Yeah.
Or then sometimes I save it. But yeah, anyway, I'm glad you got it.
That's it for this mini. We are going to be uploading some new stuff to Patreon before the month is over. I'm working my ass off for the next few days on part 2 of Tombstone. So look, if I don't respond to your texts or emails, that's why. I'm busy.
Her listeners.
Not you,
texting
Desi.
You.
I don't know. If anyone, this is a PSA for anyone. I'm going to be.
She's in the weeds.
I'm like stressed.
Oh, shit.
I'm stressed. It's a lot. It's going to be a longer episode than last week.
Okay.
So I got a lot of work to do.
Okay, bye.
We better go. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.